Tell your smartphone to smarten up. Subscribe to the Brady and Walker podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan. On demand. On demand. The Leafs locked down 2 points on Long Island.
The Leafs on the shot. Scores! Kessel off the right wing! And Leo Komarov makes a great pass to give the Leafs a tie. And Kessel's getting onto it. He's in a goal! He scores! Phil Kessel snaps it off the near post and in!
You're listening to Brady and Walker on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Oof. One shot score last night. Like, it hurt. When he went posted in, like you felt bad for the post.
Plus, there was actually a decent crowd there. Sometimes on Long Island, you hit the post and it's still ringing 11 seconds later, like in an empty arena
echoing
when you're practicing.
Brady and Walker, it is 8:03. You got to remind me of two things here. Darcy Tucker is going to join us right away, give his take on the game last night. We have to reset. You've had a lot of bad opinions on this show. You have another one.
God.
We got to reset this awful, awful opinion of yours from game one.
When
of
our
World
assistant to the program director's assistant comes in and starts yelling at me, he doesn't yell at anybody, and he tells me my opinion's terrible about James Shields.
Also, I was in Boston over the weekend. I got a I got a really funny Buffalo Bills story from Boston that I want to tell you.
Oh, it seems so random. That'll work out well.
Yes, remind me.
Our next guest, of course, a very, very popular Toronto Maple Leaf, 947 games in the league. And you can find him on Twitter at 16 Darcy Tucker. He joins us now. How do we know that's you? How do we know that that's not a fake account or a PR firm tweeting as you? How do we know?
Because I like to do the tweeting myself, but the best thing about it is I have a few other ones that I follow Andrew on, so I can get him answer all my questions.
Oh, that's you! I knew that was you, the fake Twitter account.
You have a lot of Darcy has a lot of women's tennis questions he wants answered, and he wants them answered now.
Yeah, very suspicious. Yeah.
So you mentioned on Twitter the other day, you talked about what an interesting two game trip Islanders and Sens, and you made reference to it. Did you find after the Pekka thing, going into that building, have you ever gone into a building and thought, I can handle anything on ice, I'm just worried there's some loony off ice? Does an NHL player ever think that?
Well, we had to change the room name. I became Teeter Kennedy very fast in my room in Long Island because I was getting some calls and some threats at the hotel. So we switched that up pretty quick, and then the first sign when I came out for warm-up in game, I guess it would have been game six, Tucker, break a neck, your own. So it was interesting going into Long Island.
But it's not like a fake beard to the rink or anything, or a Groucho Marx glasses or anything like that.
No, I made sure I was with some of the heavies on the team when I was walking across, that's for sure.
Darcy Tucker, our guest, Brady Walker, Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Watching Phil Kessel last night, I've always kind of... I mean, the two goals he scores are barely scoring chances, right? It's like a pseudo one-on-one rush, and all of a sudden, snap, it's in the back of the net. It's like a guy hitting a home run coming off the bench and giving you a lift. Who's the best one-shot scorer you played with that could just make something out of seemingly nothing?
Well, you guys mentioned him yesterday. We guessed who the Leaf was yesterday in the car with my son. Sergei Berezan could score. All he needed is one chance in the game, and it was in. He could make a lot of things happen out of nothing. Yes, I heard you guys say that he didn't like to pass very often, and that was the truth. But at the same time, man, could he score?
Yeah, he had like 12 career assists
in 800 games. That's not the worst thing.
They're all dump-ins, yeah.
In the world. Yeah. We are seeing a very different, you're very used to the ups and downs of the media, and admittedly, and sometimes shamefully, we're part of that. David Clarkson is having a good season. Everybody knew he'd have a better season. What have you liked from what he does so far?
Well, he's playing. First and foremost, he's on the ice. First 10 games of last year, he's sitting in the press box. It's not easy to get the momentum. It's like missing a whole training camp. And if you miss training camp, it's not easy to get that feel for the game, and it takes you a while to get going. And then he got a bit of injury problems happening last year, and it was a downhill spiral. Like I said to somebody the other day, there was one year I scored 10 goals. I wasn't very good. I didn't have a good season. And then the next year I scored 24. So anything can happen in this game. You just got to get that good feeling back and get back in the flow of things. He's playing with two guys that one guy with good speed and good footwork, and another guy that plays the game very similar to how I did when I played in Komarov. And it lends itself to some good forecheck opportunities, and also the other team wears them down when you hit or physical all night long.
Darcy Tucker joining us on Brady and Walker. Leafs in the Sens tonight, by the way, on Sportsnet 1. First game out of the gate on Scotiabank Wednesday Night Hockey. I've heard ex-Leafs say this. Warren Reichel told me this. A couple other guys did. It's easier coming to Toronto when you come in mid-season. You were a guy that did that. It's different when you get this summer of hype, right? Gary Roberts had to deal with that. Cujo did. Shane Corson. So when you came from Tampa in a trade, maybe that was almost better that people don't have 4 months, especially now in the internet age, you don't have 4 months to hype anybody up. And we did that with Clarkson last year. We did.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know what? I was lucky when I came to Toronto. The Leafs were looking for a sandpaper sort of guy, a guy that could energize the building, come in and play gritty and greasy. And I kind of fit the bill. So, you know, when I walked in here, I was automatically a fan favorite. It didn't matter. There was nights where I wasn't very good, and I ran over a few people, and I was like God walking down the street. So at the end of the day, if you play your heart out and give everything you can to the organization and the fans here, you're going to be liked. It's just a matter of going out there every night and providing some sort of spark and some sort of energy to the building.
We got Leafs Sens tonight on Sportsnet 1, part of Scotiabank Wednesday Night Hockey. Darcy Tucker, our guest on Brady and Walker. Patrick Liam's coming up on the show in about 15 minutes. You guys had a lot of back and forth battles, of course. Ottawa, Toronto, they play again tonight. What's the best memory you have from that rivalry?
Oh, gosh. Matt's is maybe one of the best moments we had was Matt's. We didn't have a very good year the one year. I think we finished eighth. They finished first. And we started in Ottawa and 0-0 game. I think Matt scored in overtime from just inside the blue line, a slap shot rocket. I think he switched his sticks 2 weeks previous to that. And he scored a bomb from coming down the wing. And we beat him 1-0 in overtime. And I think we went on to sweep that series. I think for us, finishing eighth and them finishing first, that was probably the most gratifying series win for us in that whole thing. We weren't the team that was looked at to do anything, and then we ended up playing very, very well in that first round.
Darcy Tucker joining us. Thanks for coming on the show this morning, and I'm glad this went so well. Walker was telling me you were mad at me for something.
I'm not too mad at you. There's sometimes there where you underrate some of those tough guys that the Leafs have on the fourth line.
Well, I like you know, they've sent them to the minors now.
Don't you
so
backtrack?
I didn't overrate them.
Don't you backtrack
I'm
now?
Not.
Well, that's because you called the shot and put him in the minors. They listen to you too, you know.
I know. Yeah, it's not. I don't see myself on the in the front office
area. Between you and McCown, you put more guys in the minors than half the organization.
Well, McCown's selling teams and left and right. He's got franchises moving all over. He's got three teams in the GTA in the next 2 years.
Exactly.
I don't know what's happening. Hey, thanks for coming on.
Thanks,
we
Darcy.
Always appreciate it.
No problem, guys. Enjoy the show.
It's Darcy Tucker joining us, one of our favorites. He's very good. You can follow him as well. I think it's him now because sometimes he tweets pictures of his backyard rink. My God, that guy puts a lot of time in. He's a great dad putting in that much time in his backyard rink. You should go over there and show off all your big skating moves in Darcy's backyard. How about that? Why don't you do that?
I'd suggest you do the same, but you still have like the...
It has tight corners. You still have to stop?
You still have like the dual blades on your skates like you give your three-year-old.
And my Velcro shin straps. I'm not in.
And the rubber knob on the end of your stick. You're so embarrassing.
Some guys are going to wear garter belts. Garter's got a garter. What can I tell you?
Okay, so I'm in Boston this weekend. And by the way, your third and final clue, we want to send you to the ACC. The Bruins in Toronto this Saturday. Your third and final clue is coming up.
A great worst tweet. It's really good.
And Darcy Tucker cannot win the tickets, even though he's guessing the answers in his car. Okay, so I'm in Boston this weekend, and Sunday afternoon, late morning, I go to this sports bar to watch football. And they got like 11 TVs up, and all the games are on. And the Patriots have played on Thursday, so it's not a big Patriots crowd. It's very eclectic. Everyone's wearing their own jersey. And so here...
You got a real melting pot.
Yeah, so here it is. So I'm sitting at the bar, and it's the third quarter of the Bills and the Vikings game, and I'm keeping an eye on it. And Fred Jackson's already been hurt, and C.J. Spiller was carted off. And this couple comes in, and they must be, like, they strike me as season ticket holders. They got their Bills jerseys on. They must be in their late 50s. And they come in, and they sit at the two stools next to me, and they watch the game, and it's a tie game. And the guy turns to me and says, "Why is Anthony Dixon running the ball?" I'm like, I don't know how to tell you this. Your entire running back depth chart has been carted off.
Which devastating injury would you like to hear about first?
You want to hear about the broken collarbone or the ripped groin?
Did you tell them and did they get upset or did you want to keep it a secret?
Oh, no. I said I don't really know how to tell you this, but everybody's hurt and they were devastated. But they were happier when Sammy Watkins got in. Scott Chandler, by the way, he was great. He was great.
He was excellent in that game. He had a 100-yard game against the Pats the week before. Maybe we see him a little bit more. I don't know how many times they are going to run the ball. I know we're going to talk about it more tomorrow. By the way, don't forget, I think it's a great Thursday night. Our World Series takes the night off tomorrow. But Chargers-Broncos is going to be excellent tomorrow night.
And the one thing, I don't know if this constitutes as breaking news on our show, but there's been a lot of questions. Who's running the ball for the Buffalo Bills? A lot of people saying it's Bryce Brown. Scott Chandler basically told us it was going to be Anthony Dixon.
Yeah, he did.
So,
yeah. Take that for what it's worth.
Take that for what it's worth.
If you're starting either guy in fantasy, aren't you already in big trouble?
That's true, yeah.
Fair, safe to say. 8:13, let's do worst tweet of the day.
Brady and Walker's worst tweet of the day.
You know, everything is not an anecdote. You have to discriminate. You choose things that are funny or mildly amusing.
I love this one. We have, now there's a recent ESPN article that's really gone deep in on Kobe Bryant, titled, "Is Kobe Bryant the Reason for the Los Angeles Lakers' Downfall?" It basically implicates Kobe in, he's too involved in management decisions. He chased Dwight Howard out of here. He feuded with Shaq. He's this and that. He's not a good teammate, not a good person. Flea, the bass player from Red Hot Chili Peppers, says, "I can't take it anymore," and jumps on the Twitter box. Henry Abbott. Now, he doesn't even reference Henry Abbott's Twitter account. He just writes, "Henry Abbott, your at ESPN Kobe article is absolute garbage and a blatant irresponsible attack. You forgot to get Smush Parker for a quote, too." And then Phil Jackson, 11 rings, retweets, "Go get him, Flea." Which is a great thing just to say that, like, I want someone around our office to be nicknamed Flea and just, you know, maybe Jeff Blair's nickname. And when we leave our studio and he comes in, we just say, "Have a good show, Flea. Go get him. Go get him, Flea." It's Flea.
Flea is not happy with Kobe Bryant ripping.
He's a huge Lakers fan. Now there's all these shots of him in Lakers sweatsuits and in really bad, like almost a Zubaz,
you know,
type
what, though,
shirt.
You know what, though? This is the same
and
thing.
A mesh hat.
Like yesterday, I was tweeting, and I'm admittedly down on Nazem Kadri. And so I have this guy cursing at me on Twitter, but his avatar is Nazem Kadri. I said, "You're not allowed to talk about this because your avatar is the guy you're defending." It's the same. It's the same with Flea, right? If you're posting pictures of yourself in Lakers jerseys, you're not allowed to comment on anti Kobe Bryant articles.
When we had our Peyton Manning discussion Monday after he broke the record, and I get Peyton Manning avatars going, "I'm being fair about this, and I think he's the best quarterback ever." I'm like, I know you do already. You don't need to even say anything.
We want to send you this weekend, Saturday night, to the ACC, Brady and Walker's ticket window. It is Toronto. It's the Boston Bruins, courtesy of the Great Blue Heron Casino. Name us that player. We gave you a clue. It's 614, 714. Here is your third and final clue this morning. It wasn't his most famous team, but he played his first NHL game with the LA Kings. If you know who we're talking about, give us a call, 416-870-0590, *590 on your cell phone. As always, we'll do it again tomorrow, courtesy of the Great Blue Heron Casino. Leafs sends tonight on Sportsnet 1. Speaking of sends, Patrick Laliem, former Ottawa goaltender, joins us.
Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. No medical exam or health questions will be asked. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Always the best sports talk on Brady and Walker. Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Back along the boards for Clarkson. Clarkson trying to shield it. Comes out into the slot with a shot. Scores! David Clarkson! From the high slot and a screen, and it's 4-2.
8:24, Brady and Walker. Patrick Laliem going to join us in seconds. We will talk about the Leafs and Sens coming up tonight on Sportsnet 1 as part of Scotiabank Wednesday Night Hockey.
And a real intriguing second half of that doubleheader with the Oilers against the Capitals.
Yeah.
Alex Ovechkin scoring.
The
He's got his
the
five
red
goals.
Hot, the red hot Edmonton Oilers. Winners
one
of,
win.
Winners
so
of
not...
one in a row. I got a question for you. Now, this is, you can take the day to think about it, but this is a make you think kind of question. The Toronto Rock, very excited for their season coming up. Would you rather,
whether it had started or not.
It's lacrosse. Would you rather have the Toronto Rock go undefeated in 2015 or have $5?
Make it 10.
I'll give you $5. What would you rather?
Well, is it a $5 bill or
it's
is
it a $5
clunky
bill?
Change?
It's a blue five. It's
is
not
it
trapped. It's a $5 bill.
And three loonies. It's going to clog or slow me down the rest of the day.
I will give you $5.
I'm not answering
or
this.
You're able to have an undefeated Toronto Rock championship season.
I know what you're. I know what you're doing.
Just
I know
say
what
it.
You're implying.
Just say
okay,
it.
Okay, so everyone should discuss this when they get into their jobs later today.
All right,
right?
The answer's coming up tomorrow.
As well as the
lovesick. I know what your answer is.
And please discuss the lovesick Chinese woman at KFC for a week.
That's terrible.
We're going to bring that up again. Patrick Aleem is NHL analyst for TVA Sports. He's working the Sens-Leafs game tonight in Ottawa, where he was a very successful Sens goalie. Thanks for coming on the show, as always. How are you doing?
For having me.
Yeah, we're happy to. Tell us your observations early days of an Ottawa Senators team. They are tricky, right? Last year, expectations, they fall short. The previous couple years, no expectations, and they impress and surprise, and they look early on like they're doing the same again. And I'm asking you, does it begin and end with goaltending? Craig Anderson and Robin Leonard have been very good out of the gate.
Well, it always began with goaltending.
Yes.
You should know that. And, well, they've been unbelievable so far this year, just like they were 2 years ago. If you remember, they were second in the league for goals against. Last year, they fall back. They were in the bottom five of the league, I believe, and they're at it again. I think defense has always been, I think, the question mark on the Sens part. They get a lot of young defensemen that need to grow in the game, to learn, to gain some experience. And I think goaltending is always there to, erase all the mistakes that everybody makes in front of them. And, you know, they work hard. That's what the Sens are made of. And Carlson's always there. You know, he's going to be a factor. And Bobby Ryan, he can score any given time. And MacArthur's playing well now, too.
Maybe it's because nobody really expected the Sens to be all that good. Maybe it's because they play in the nation's capital. I'm not sure. But Erik Karlsson seems to be getting maybe less press than he deserves. Have we reached the point where Erik Karlsson is maybe an underrated defenseman in this league?
Well, I totally agree about the press part because this guy, day in and day out, he's been unbelievable. Every time you watch, there was a lot of critics about his defensive play, but he's good now. Defensive play is the stick-on-stick game, and I think he's very good at that because he's very, very agile, very mobile with his feet, and he can get into anybody's face. And he's such in good shape. You see him going from one end to the ice, joining the rush, coming back, first guy back, like his smooth skating. I think Erik Karlsson is definitely one of the top defensemen in the league, and he should be considered. If you look at the team, the Sens team, and they're into it. He won the Norris a few years ago, but I think he's the heart and soul of that team, and year after year he's there. And right now, the new captain, he seems to be taking it by the horns and playing well and leading on the ice.
Patrick Laleem, the excellent analyst for TVA, our guest on Brady and Walker on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. It felt like the Ryan contract signing was just, it let everybody breathe a little bit, right? A big sigh of relief from the fan base. It's good business for Brian Murray to get that done, and it's a relief for the player to not have to get asked about it anymore. Is it all of those things, and that's why it's in part, their success is putting this in the rearview mirror and not having to worry about it?
Yeah, well, especially with Spezza leaving town, I think you need to have someone to rely on, a superstar that can, put the puck in the net, and that's what Bobby Ryan's been named for. And I think it's a relief not only for the teammates, I think, in the room to have that guy who can make a difference every night. It's huge. And we saw it on the opening night. It used to be the Alfie chance, and it was the Bobby. The fans were all over it. So I think it's a good sign for Ottawa, and you know, I had great time in the city, and I just wish them all the best. And they're working hard. They're going to make a case for it. Like you said, a couple years ago, nobody expected them to be there. They were there, and again, pressure is not on their side, and they're going under the radar right now and making the best of it.
Patrick Laleem, our guest, Brady and Walker, Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Obviously, you're watching the Habs really close, and yep. What they've done is kind of formulaic, isn't it? They win again last night, and they do it in this similar comeback fashion. Have you ever played on a team that you get behind, but you have so much confidence that you're able to come back all the time?
Well, I try to remember. I think in Ottawa, good years, we were like that. The years we won the President League, I think, same thing. You know, you're in the room. There's no stress. Everybody believes you can do it. And it's something that you build up. And the Habs don't have a choice to build it up because I think except for the first game of the year, they're always starting from behind and coming back into the games. And the good thing for them is Carey Price is finding his game now, too. The last few games, he's been unreal against Colorado and last night against Detroit again. A lot of good scoring chances going his way. And he seemed to be in the same form as he was the last year. So that's a good sign for when you find ways to win. And the top two lines are playing very well. They give a lot of offense to the Habs right now. And so it's been an all-around team effort right now.
Patrick, enjoy tonight and have a great broadcast. We appreciate you coming on our show this morning here in Toronto. Thanks again.
Well, thank you very much, guys. Anytime.
It's Patrick Laleem, TV Sports NHL analyst. Sens and Leafs are the opener, the lid lifter on Scotiabank Wednesday Night Hockey, 7 o'clock, 6:30 for the pregame. It's on Sportsnet 1 tonight because the baseball World Series Game 2 on Sportsnet. Doubleheader, second half, is Washington in Edmonton to play Dallas Eakins and the Oilers. That's great stuff from Patrick Laleem about where the Sens go. And, yeah, it starts with goaltending, but I think there's something to the Ryan contract getting done and just not having this cloud's been over there really ever since the Heatley thing, and looking at Milan Mihalik going, hey, you're not about to score 45 goals like Danny Heatley did a couple times.
I get it. You live in Toronto and you're a Leafs fan. You do. You hate the Habs, you hate the Bruins, you hate the Ottawa Senators, and that's okay. It's healthy. It's a rivalry. That said, I always get especially as a Western guy and a guy that grew up Saskatchewan, Alberta, I do get dismayed when I see a Canadian team get crapped on in the sense of, oh, you know, players don't want to be here. And you know, I know Jason Spezza put in his time, but he goes out the door. Danny Heatley wants to play in California. Edmonton and Calgary and Winnipeg can't get free agents. Evander Kane doesn't want to live in Winnipeg because there's no high-end housing. It's annoying, right?
Yeah.
So as much as you want to beat the Ottawa Senators and you hope the Leafs pound the bejesus out of them. It was nice to see a big name, an American name, and Bobby Ryan, much like Kessel here, re-sign.
Yes, and takes people by surprise. I'm well documented. Kessel re-signing took me by surprise to some extent. The Sens also, though, you know, it's up to their own fans. I know we hear a lot about the arena location, and tonight will be... It'll sound like a Leafs home game. It always does when Toronto plays in Ottawa.
Yeah, but it does. That does everywhere.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is Ottawa's got it. They're the one team that if the dollar takes a dip and the team's not very good, you're going to find empty seats. Even the Vancouver sellout streak ended this year.
Yeah.
So. Strombo and Merrick off the ice with special guest Ryan Reynolds joining them on this particular edition. It's about to happen right now.
We thought it was yesterday. We promise you it is today. Ryan Reynolds with the boys coming up 6:33.
Couldn't they book Blake Lively? What's the matter with him? B-listers now. Great.
Yeah, I'd rather have Blake Lively.
Send us all your money. Sign up for our free podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher, and we'll send you a free subscription for Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Absolutely free. Now, more Brady and Walker on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
And the pitch, and a swing, and a high fly ball. Center field and deep. Kane will turn, and he will watch it go. Hunter Pence with a two-run homer to deep right center field.
8:42, Brady and Walker, and that was all she wrote. First inning, this one felt over. The Giants score, and the Kansas City Royals do not. It was all San Fran in game one. Okay, so last night, right? It's the first World Series game in Kansas City in 29 years. Tickets were, like, the resale value averaged $829.
A little tough to get, a little bit.
Yet one guy behind home plate last night chose to wear a very interesting, an article of clothing that did not fit the situation whatsoever.
Like, it's like one of those sitcom characters. It's like the Fonz. You're like, how do I know it's him? He's wearing a leather jacket and jeans. This guy wears the same bright orange Marlins, like, warm-up jacket every game. And he's a man named Lawrence Levy, who is a Marlins fan and was a season ticket holder. But he goes to these games, gets the tickets through StubHub, but he wants to always sit behind the plate. And
he must have pretty good dough.
So he's, yeah, because he sits, you know, he's in Florida, but then he just says, hey, I'm going to playoff games. And unlike you and I, who might scrimp together some change to go to drive to Detroit or Pittsburgh, he's like that guy at the NBA games who wears the, you know, the guy with the white hair and the weird cowboy hat. You know, you see him courtside. I can't even think of his name, but he came to one of the Raptors Knicks games in the spring. So.
I do not know who you're.
There you go. Maybe there's, you know, in maybe he'll be in studio with Joe Buck tonight. You never know.
He's like a professional fan.
Something like that, yeah. John Morosi joins us, speaking of, from FoxSports.com and Fox as well, who's in Kansas City. We had a little argument, John. It never happens on our show between it. We had a little difference of opinion with baseball. I know you're shocked and dismayed.
Wait until you hear this one, Morosi.
Okay, I am ready.
I would not have started James Shields last night. I would have started Ventura. You can set the rotation any way you want. I don't think anyone's going to beat Bumgarner in a game like this. I'd hearken back to 2 years ago when the Giants had a long series with St. Louis, but they started Barry Zito opening night against Justin Verlander. Could have started Matt Cain on 3 days rest, sure.
And my take is every smart baseball person on the planet starts James Shields in game one. Of course you do.
Not the way he's pitched this postseason. Okay, your thoughts.
Well, and the great good that it did the Royals to start James Shields in that game, probably a good thing they did not listen to you, Greg, on that score, because at least Ventura, I guess we'll never know how things would have transpired if Ventura had pitched. I would say this, to the larger question here of where this series stands, the Royals have great reason to be nervous right now because Ventura, remember, he left his last outing with shoulder tightness, and that was in the sixth inning of game two against the Orioles. And Ventura has said he's healthy, that he feels fine. The Royals have said the same, but the reality is, and look for this tonight, he's got 196 innings pitched this season, which is by far and away a career high. His previous career high was 150 between the majors and the minors, so he's already on an increase of 46 innings and counting. And I wonder if the shoulder tightness is related to all those innings and just general fatigue in terms of his arm at this time of year after throwing so many innings. We've seen it so many times where pitchers, I recall Justin Verlander in 2006, great season, but by the end of it, he had nothing. And if he has nothing tonight, the Royals are in serious trouble because, of course, they had Danny Duffy, their long man, had to pitch three innings yesterday because Shields was unable to get an out in the fourth inning. So the reserves in the bullpen tonight for Ned Yost are not nearly as numerous as they were last night. And as a result, they're really putting a lot of pressure on a young man who is in my view, of questionable, not necessarily health, but capability at this stage. I mean, there's many times in the season when he was their best pitcher, but I'm afraid for the Royals that October is not going to be one of those times.
This is a pretty unique situation, isn't it? I mean, other than that three-run shot off of Ventura in the play-in game, the Kansas City Royals haven't had to face any adversity. Is there a danger here going into game two of just the win being completely out of the sails? I mean, they hadn't lost for the better part of 2 weeks.
You're right. It had been 23 days since their last loss, and they only trailed in two innings in the entire ALCS. Obviously, they trailed for two innings by the time this World Series was two innings old. So I think in my view, Andrew, I think it's the larger concern is not even so much that they faced adversity, it's that now they're out of rhythm a little bit. I think the layoff probably hurt them, but in reality, I think a layoff of any amount of time almost at some point in time was gonna hurt them. I mean, you just cannot. I mean, remember, this is a historically great start to the postseason. Eight straight wins. That had not happened ever in the history of the game. Now, granted, there were many years when the World Series was the entirety of the postseason, so Babe Ruth's teams never had a chance to win eight straight. But still, even if we go back to 1969 to now in terms of the LCS era, it's a lot of great baseball teams that never had a chance to win eight straight games. And even, I guess we could say, back to 85 when it went to a best of seven series in the ALCS. So I guess it's more like a 30-year time horizon. But still, that's 30 years of chances for teams to go 8-0 and nobody ever did it. So this was bound to end at some point in time, especially given the Royals were merely a wild card team during the regular season. And the thing that stuck out to me last night, guys, was that third inning, the Royals had the fewest strikeouts in baseball during the regular season. They excelled in the first couple rounds of just putting the ball in play, driving in a run, and there were back-to-back strikeouts there for Escobar and Aoki. That was a moment where they have excelled all the entire postseason. They've just been banking runs with ground balls and sac flies, putting the ball in play, whatever it took, and they didn't do it there. And that was the moment where I started to worry, they lost a bit of their mojo here, and it's going to be hard to get it back.
John Morosi, our guest, the game's on Sportsnet, 8 o'clock, of course. Our pregame starts on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, with Mike Wilner and special guest Marcus Stroman tonight. Be listening for that. You're right about everything you said. And the bats, John, the bats kind of went dry earlier than this for the Royals. It kind of went dry halfway through game two. They won a pair of 2-1 games to sweep out the Orioles, who were playing on fumes. Five runs in the last 31 innings for the Royals. So it's not like the bullpen doesn't even factor in if you're scoring one or two runs a night. It doesn't matter who's in the bullpen for Kansas City if you're getting one or two an evening.
That's a great point, Greg. And to your point, the last two games at ALCS, they scored those runs on a ground out, a sac fly, a ground out, and an error.
Yeah, Perez is home.
They have not had a run-scoring hit until Sal Perez's home run. So it was basically they almost went three full games without what you would call a run-scoring hit.
Four extra base hits in the last four games.
Right. So, I mean, so these are, to your point, these concerns now are starting to add up. And again, we always have to guard against, a team loses game one and there's panic and everybody's writing about how many concerns they have. But in this case, I truly believe the Royals have some substantial worries because of what you just said, because now the Giants have a chance to board that airplane after this game tonight, no matter what happens, and they got a chance to close the series out in San Francisco, which history tells us in the Bochy era, we know that in the Giants' case, they have not even lost a postseason series under Bruce Bochy. But more than that, in any series in which they won game one, they have never even faced an elimination game. They've basically wrapped those up in six games or less in the CS and in four games or less in the division series. So they've been extremely efficient in dispatching their opponents whenever they've won game one, and they are now in command again. We'll see. I mean, there's just so much pressure on this young man, Ventura. A great, great charisma, great pitcher, but he's got a lot of pressure on him tonight.
John, thanks for getting up early for us. Great stuff.
My pleasure, guys. We'll talk again soon. Thanks again.
John Morosi joining us on Brady and Walker on Sportsnet 590 The Fan, 8:51. We do have it tonight, 7 p.m. pregame. The game's on Sportsnet. We've got our excellent Scotiabank Wednesday Night Hockey doubleheader starting with Leafs Sens on Sportsnet 1. And yeah, winner of game one has won 15 of the last 17 World Series. The series has been over in five games or less in seven of the last 10 years. So
100% of the time, the winner
it works all the time.
Yeah,
Jeff Blair's in. It's the Jeff Blair Show at 9 o'clock. Mark Osborne, who was on our show Monday, is on Jeff's show today at 9 o'clock. Kyle Lowry, that'll be great, 11:15, as they play Maccabi Haifa tonight. They go to Montreal. As we said earlier, Jeff, the New York Knicks players must really hate the idea of a free Thursday night in Montreal to go. Yeah. I'm sure 10 o'clock curfew from executive Phil Jackson. Get in your rooms by 10. You only get to Montreal so often. They don't have an NBA franchise.
It reminds me of when Whitey Herzog managed the St. Louis Cardinals. He would fly his team, and this is when they had the Cocaine Cardinals, and they had Keith Hernandez and all
those
guys.
Great name. Great name for a fantasy team now.
Cocaine
even.
Cardinals?
Yeah.
He would fly his teams into Montreal on the day of the game because he didn't want them to be in Montreal the night before a game.
Day of game flight. That's hilarious.
I know.
What is this, Pee-wee?
Yeah, there's no way he was going to risk having the boys a free night at Shea Perry. Wasn't worth it.
We were teasing around the idea of Shields not starting game one.
You were teasing that.
Well, again, yeah, it worked out that when the Giants started Barry Zito in game one,
big lame James.
But they're asking, like, the questions to Ned Yost, is Shields your game five starter?
He can't be now.
Well, there you go. It takes gumption to even ask the question, but what do they do?
Based on what I saw last night, I go Danny Duffy. I mean, it depends on the situation, right? I mean, if you're...
That's an unbelievable thing to take your... Like, your aces don't get pulled from rotations in playoff series very often.
I know. You know what? If you're 2-2, maybe you go back with him. But this is... this is a continuation of a pretty mediocre offseason for him. If it was one-off, then you'd go, all right, so he didn't have it. But... there's a bit of a track record here with this.
Yeah, at the same time, though, when you get to that situation, they'll go back to their guy. What, were the Dodgers not going to go with
Clayton
Kershaw?
That's not the same guy.
Even though I know Clayton Kershaw his postseason track record isn't that great, but he's going to win a Cy Young Award. He's the best pitcher in the game. You go. Shields.
James Shields had a great year, too.
James Shields has never been accused of being the best pitcher in the game.
You're not even talking a top... Top
I'm
10,
not saying James
pitcher.
Shields is the well, same as Clayton 15, Kershaw. Close. I'm saying the situation is similar.
No.
Well, you guys go have lunch.
All right.
Yeah.
No. I'll stay in for the first hour. How about that? Jeff Blair Show.
Kyle Lowry, 11:15 coming up.
See you tomorrow.